Joe Labuda is head football coach at Menominee High School. He has coached baseball at Menominee, played baseball in college, played football in college, a number of state championships, a number of conference championships in the Big River. But we wanted to talk to Joe about more than football and baseball, about coaching and about life, about instilling, about being a motivator. Well, sit back and relax and hear it. Joe Labuda, more than football. A visit with Joe Labuda about coaching and teaching, and but more than football. Joe, in the first place, what led you to coach?
Well, originally I had gone to college to be a business major. And when I got to college, I was asked to coach actually a young basketball team of eighth graders and a lot of troubled kids in St. Paul, and really had a lot of fun with those kids. Felt like I kind of got to a lot of those kids, and started making me think about the impressions that my high school coach had made on me. And you know, it's, I was kind of I wouldn't say I was a troubled young man. I was raised in a really great Christian family by my father, but I was also probably a better way to describe it, explosive young man, as I had a temper, and my high school coach had a great effect on channeling that energy into the right places. And I guess it kind of made me think about that, and I played for a great person in the college coach with a great effect on me as far as choices I made in college and staying on the right track. And I guess that's probably what made me think about that. And, you know, and coaches, I always like to think of coaches are men built for others. You know, they're guys that, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, you're basically it's a life of service.
Your thoughts then, when you went to college for business, now you're thinking about coaching. That's going to mean teaching. Your thoughts on teaching?
Well, I think teaching and coaching are one and the same. And, you know, I don't believe, you know, sometimes you'll hear teachers complain or people complain, oh, coaching is just an extension of teaching. I don't know very many guys that are good coaches that aren't good teachers. In other words, you know, you take our school, for example, you look at John Niederhauser as a classic example. Great coach, great teacher, you know. Jay Stanley's another example. You know, Dale Dalkey was an excellent example. Bob Peterson was an excellent example. You have to be able to inspire and motivate kids in teaching and in coaching. And if you can't do that, I don't think you can do it out on the field either. And you have to be able to, it doesn't matter what you know. It's what you can get the kids to know. And so I think, in my opinion, teaching and coaching are coaching is just an extension of teaching. I do think coaching, kids can get things out of a practice field or a basketball court that you can't offer them in a classroom. And it has to do with the hours and the environment and the things they're asked to do and the amount of time you spend. I think kids can get things that they can't get in any other environment.
In that regard, then, kiddo, the playing field, the practice field, is really a classroom.
Without a doubt. I mean, if you can't teach, I don't think you can be a great coach. You know, you look at great basketball coaches, you know, across the world, and great coaches are teachers. I think, like Belichick for the Patriots, is a great teacher. I think his players really understand the game, and you have to be able to understand things before they can do them correctly. And if you can't get kids to understand things, it doesn't matter what you or your staff know.
You've gone right there, Coach, from high school through college into the professional. It really doesn't make any difference what era or what field you're in. It's the same, teach to coach.
And I don't think it's changed as far as, I mean, coaching kids has changed because society's changed. But I think even if you look back in time, the Vince Lombardis and things were great teachers. And Vince Lombardi was maybe on the fact of really attention to detail, which is still overlooked by too many people, but he was still a great teacher.
All right, let's go back. Coach, you're at Concordia College now in St. Paul. And you select Florida. Here's a kid from Wisconsin going to school in Minnesota. And what was the drive for Florida?
Well, the guy that I played with, or played for, I should say, the college coach that I played for, Jim Brown, he had played college football and in the professional ranks with the guy that I first coached under, you know, Dennis Minier, who was a legend down in Florida. And
Menominee. There was a time, or how many years did you spend in Florida, Joe? And I understand the first time I laid eyes on you was in the Menominee auditorium when Mr. Johnson introduced you after a career, a pretty good one in Florida.
Well, I was there 6 years, and I didn't leave because of the job that I had. I mean, people thought I was crazy when I was leaving a job that I only taught three classes, and team taught those three classes, and had the school. It's hard to explain to people up north. I mean, schools are in county systems there, and I had a county car to drive and a county credit card to put the gas in the car, and football is emphasized, to be honest with you. And it's funny to hear a football coach say that, but way too much. Sports are where you get all your gate receipts, and football paid the bill, so it was a unified. You never heard any teachers say football get this or football get that, because football paid the bills there. And a situation where, you know, I really coached some great kids that were on the football team, but it was a tough situation as far as overall. There was a lot of racial problems, there was a lot of rich poor problems, and it was a different situation. It was like being in a different country. You know, when I first got down there, for example, they still paddled kids back in those days in Florida, you know, for discipline things, and it was a much different lifestyle. But it got to be the point, one of the reasons that I left is it was a very violent place, not so much with anything to do with football, but it's just a different lifestyle. At that point, I really had missed the Midwest. And until you've left the Midwest, you don't really understand how much you miss the Midwest lifestyle. And, you know, I was getting to the age where you start to think about marriage and family, and I thought, this isn't where I want to have a family grow up. Unfortunately, the educational systems in Florida were terrible. Great kids. I had some really super kids that I'm still in touch with. That I, you know, 20-some years later, I still get Christmas cards from some of those kids and still get calls from those kids and thing. And so I'm still very close with a lot of those kids because I wasn't a whole lot older than they were at that time. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I got to be pretty close with those kids, but it just wasn't a place where I wanted to live.
Let's talk then about that first year in Menominee. You decided to come back to Midwest. And first of all, one more step. Why Menominee? How did that happen?
I just wanted to get back to Wisconsin closer to my family, and there were four openings, and I got, you know, an interview at four different places, and that was the one that I chose to take the job at. To be honest with you, it had nothing to do with football. It had nothing to do with the school. When I drove into Menominee and drove around at the other four interviews that I had were all in city-type atmospheres. And when I drove around and I looked at the area, and I like to hunt and fish and saw the lake and stuff, and I thought, this is a place I want to come.
You're a small-town boy in the first place. Menominee fits that real well. I got to ask a question, Joe. Kenny Johnson is your athletic director, and you're coming into a program that Well, your first year here, you have less than 30 kids. I mean, I don't know how many seniors there are, four or five of them, I think. You built a program from that first year. Tell me about building a program, Joe. Did you build it? Did you sell it? Did the kids buy into it? How those first couple of years?
I always still think of that first group I had in 1989 as one of my favorite groups of kids. It was really a special group of kids because, like, I think there's still six of them that are coaches, and there was only 23 of them to begin with, so that's kind of interesting. Because, I mean, a bunch of those kids are still coaches, Matt Sanford and Mark Hillman. It was just a really good group of kids, and I'm still real close with those guys, and they bought into the program really well, and I think that's what sold the program, is those kids helped sell it, and that's still one of my favorite years, because I remember walking out of the practice into here, and a lot of fun, and they bought into the system really quickly. They bought into things, and that's really what sold the programs. And yes, you recruit, but I guess I don't even like to use that word, because recruiting I think of more as a college type term. I really look at it, and it's no different today than it was 17 years ago when I got here. I don't really look at it as a word recruiting as I do establishing relationships, and that's not done during the football season. It's done in your classroom. It's done going and supporting kids at basketball games and talking to kids, and I think you establish relationships more than I use the term recruit.
Come back to that first couple of years, Joe. did you set goals for the kids? Is it a team situation? Because that's what it is today. What did you do, or what did the kids do when you say bought into the program?
Well, I mean, I brought things here that, and just the philosophies that I had learned at Florida. I mean, I was very fortunate. I was a young player. You think you know a lot about football, but you don't till you get into the coaching ranks. And I was very fortunate. I mean, I coached with some of the top coaches in the country that, you know, Dennis was the head coach. But out of that first staff I coached on, you know, five of them became premier head coaches somewhere else later, you know, within the next 2 years after that. And so, I mean, I was extremely fortunate. I coached with some big-time coaches in a staff where I was the only one that didn't know anything out of the five of them. They took me under their wing, and philosophies that they taught about team and not posting statistics and emphasizing the team and is the things that I brought here, and the kids bought into those things.
One of the true positives I love about Joe Labuda is the kids that you coach, like you mentioned before, the early bunch, a lot of coaches there, kids have gone on to coaching. It's not just football, though. It is teaching. Joe, tell me about academics and football.
Well, I think it's even more beyond that. You know, it's so much more than the X's and O's and the games. It comes back to what I said before. If you don't establish those relationships with kids, you know, it's not going to be. I'd be trying to teach those kids how to be good people and how to be successful in life before you're trying to teach them, you know, how to win games. And to me, they come in hand. I just look at when people say, why have you won here? Why have you done this? Why have you done that? I kind of have four answers for it. Our kids are always really committed, and they work hard. That'd be the fourth reason. Number two, our kids are quick. We don't really try to, and there's a difference. We really try to get our kids to do a lot of agilities in the off season on their own, so they get to be quick. And they're not necessarily fast. I don't know if you can really change kids' speed fast-wise, but you can make them a lot more quicker. And then number three, we always talk about, you know, that they got to pay attention to detail, the little things that we're going to teach them, doing the film work, doing the scouting reports, that attention to detail, doing the little things right. The number one reason our kids have been successful is we've taught them how to care about each other and how to try to play for each other and become a close team. And at high school level, and I don't know if that's necessarily true at the college level or the professional level, but at the high school level, if you don't have kids playing for each other and they don't really deeply care about each other, and we always say, you know, you don't walk around the locker room telling each other you love each other, but if that feeling isn't present, the chances of you being successful aren't very good. You know, Vince Lombardi always had a saying that, I don't know if winning breeds closeness or closeness breeds winning, but you never seem to have one without the other. I really believe that. I don't know if I've had a great team that hasn't been a close team.
Scripture teaches, Joe, that we know where Jesus stands with us. We know where we stand with Him. Your thoughts about kids and the relationship, like you mentioned before, between the coach and the kid, not just buying into a system, but buying into a person.
In other words, it's not a buddy-buddy thing. It's not like you're trying to be their buddy. But they better be able to come to you when they have problems, and you better be able to be there to listen for them. And put it this way, kids are smart. You know, they're going to know if you really care about them or if it's a front. Yeah. And they better be able to know that you care about them, that you're going to go to bat for them when the season's over. You're going to try to find this school to get them into. You're going to try to find this scholarship for them, whether they're going to play football or not, that you're going to try to go to bat for them with trying to find them jobs, you know, using you as a letter or writing letters of recommendation. We're using you as a reference. And kids know if you're working for them after the season or not, and then they'll talk to the kids ahead of them, and you better follow through with what you say. And, you know, I always look at the reason we've won here. And it's not necessarily that. I think that's what people really like. People say, well, you've won this many games in a row at the stadium. We're not the, you know, we don't keep track any. I have no idea. I mean, we always look at it as this is winning is just an outcome of doing things right. And if we do things right, you know, and you hear people around say, well, how can they be winning doing that stuff? You know, and people say, well, maybe they're practicing during the summer. If anybody ever wants to come in any day of the week, they're more than welcome. Don't tell us you're coming. Come and watch what we do in the weight room. I can look any of them in the eye and tell them we've never practiced a day since I've been here, you know, with a football or anything like that. You know, we don't do those kind of things. We don't give kids rides to 7-on-7. Our kids, you know, it comes down to winning as an outcome of making your kids do things right. And, like, for example, kids say, well, we see other coaches giving rides, kids rides at 7-on-7. You know, no one would know. But the answer to that is, you know what? We'd know. And so winning is an outcome of doing things the right way.
Joe, I'm going to throw two words at you, and I'd like to have you just throw it back at me. Number one is motivator. A coach as motivator.
Well, I think you have to be able to, and I think even more today than years ago, because unfortunately with all the video games and all the different things, kids want instant gratification. And I'd say that's the difference between coaching 10 years ago even than right now. You got to teach kids how to work hard and what hard work really is. I think now than ever, unfortunately, I think it's a real bad fault of our society. Kids get too much instant gratification, and when they run into something tough, they back off. And we spend a lot of time to our kids about building mental toughness, and it's going to be needed later. And some things aren't okay. You may lose your job for no reason that you did anything wrong, just the company's having problems and they're scaling back. And how are you going to handle those things? And we really talk a lot about handling adversity. And I think that's a big part of motivating kids today, is motivating them to not our screamer guy on our coach. Pat, you hardly ever hear, ever raise his voice, but both of them are able to motivate kids in a different way.
Another word, Joe, is passion. Your passion for football, I see a passion for teaching, because I've been in this locker room when you have taught. There's a passion here that, everyone has admitted.
And I don't know if it's necessarily a passion for football. I mean, there's days that, just like any other coach, that goes through your mind, why am I doing this? But I'd say it's more of a to be successful, I think it's got to be a passion for kids and not a passion for football.
Your thoughts about tools of coaching. Coach, what does a coach need? What does Joe Labuda need when he goes a start of a year? Tools of coaching.
The main thing is your coaching staff. If you don't have a good coaching staff, you can't do it by yourself, and nobody can. There's not a coach out there that can.
You've surrounded yourself with some pretty good people.
Right, and we've had some people volunteer that, you know, we couldn't do without. I mean, if we didn't have Simpson that's, you know, out there volunteering to coach. I mean, we didn't have the Matt Serdar guys that are former players that just want to help out kids.
Is there an off-season for Joe Labuda?
Definitely. I mean, there has to be. If you don't have an outlet. And there was a coach, for example, in the southern part of the state that I was just kind of cringed when I read an interview the other day. That cringed because I have the opposite philosophy, and we never bring kids in on the weekends. We just feel like, and we never, I shouldn't say that, two times a year we do. We have an inter-squad scrimmage on a Saturday night, and we have a Saturday night practice, or Saturday practice during the playoffs when we go the Tuesday-Thursday deal. Other than that, we never bring kids in on Saturday, and we absolutely will not bring kids in on Sunday. It's against my beliefs. And there's a lot of programs that aren't like the only one in our league that doesn't bring kids in either on Saturday or Sunday. I just don't believe it. I think there's got to be that downtime for kids, and there's got to be that downtime for coaches. I mean, Saturday I'm hunting and fishing, and I've got my son with me hunting and fishing and establishing that relationship with him. Also, kids have to have that downtime, and is there an off-season? You bet, because we want our kids to be two or three sport athletes. I always tell our kids when you hear some of these hockey people say, well, you know, I think I want my son just to be a hockey player when I'm doing this. And my comment to that always is, like, and they say Rob Smith, always Mike Moser, and then my question always is, how many of those were one sport athlete? And most of them were two and three sport athletes. With starters, Kyle Ratrager, they were all part of our team, has been three-sport athletes. We've had the Cole Crafts, the kids like that that have been, Danny Swanson's, that have been three-sport athletes, and we promote it. So I think you're doing an injustice to kids.
According to my records, Joe, there's like 16 scholar athletes in Menominee in the last few years, and they're all more than one sport athletes, so you're well-spoken.
Well, and there's different type of scholar athletes, but the WIA scholar athletes, we have seven at our school, in our school's history, and that's two more than any other school in the state that Menominee has had scholar athletes. All of them have been football players, but they've also all been multiple sport athletes. You know, the guys that have done it before, like Chris Schrantz, Ryan Thomas, you know, Danny Swanson, they've all been three sport athletes. then you have the Wisconsin Football Foundation, the National Football Foundation Scholar Athlete. We have 7 on the closest school is 6. Wanakee has 6. We have more in both categories of those. And all those kids are either 2 or 3 sport athletes, like Evan Pisick, Mike Gust, you know, Nate Cody, and those kind of kids.
Joe Laputa really respects that, just like, well, that's a championship.
It's huge when you get those kids at that level.
Joe, you came to Menominee as a single guy. You married a coach. She's a coach in her own right. And your family. Coaching in the careers of some of these kids?
I don't know. It's hard. I'm going to be honest with you. That's the hardest part of coaching. And if I ever get out of coaching, that would be the reason, is you better have married a special type of lady if you're going to be a coach, because it is very tough on them. And your kids have to be understanding, too, you know. And I guess I listened to, like, when Reggie White's wife talked in the induction ceremony. They talked about that there were times he thought about getting out of it, and his wife and the kids talked about, you got to realize what you're doing for people in general, because it was more than just playing football for him. And where my wife said, I think there's times that it's just tremendously tough for her, but she knows that it's doing things for kids and that it's going to make
it. And leave Joe Laputa without being the environmentalist. You know, if there's a guy in the county that knows about the duck blinds and the deer stands and the, you are an environmentalist.
Yeah, and I'd say that's probably an equal as passion as coaching. I mean, I was brought up in a duck blind since I was 3 years old. My son's been with me 4 or 5 years old, sitting in a duck blind, walking behind my dad pheasant hunting. And, you know, my family's always been into dogs and duck hunting, pheasant hunting, and my son's the same way right now with me, and that's an enjoyable part of our life.
There's a fishing pole or two, too.
Yeah, and that's our downtime and our relaxation time.
Thanks, Coach, and congratulations on a great career in coaching and family.
Thank you.